You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. We want you to join the conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Roy writes on our website, I did not think there was a military response to 9/11. According to President Bush, wasn't Iraq a separate issue and not supposedly in retaliation to 9/11? And on a different subject, we were talking about an investigation in Denver between government officials involved in a sex and drugs scandal with officials in the oil industry. Bob writes on our site, yee-haw, all kinds of drilling going on at the Interior Department. Going to get me a job there? Bob asks. You can join us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Jonah Lehrer, you're on the line from New Hampshire?
Yep, I'm here.
So, you know, the foreign minister of Russia is visiting Warsaw to try to intimidate the government of Poland. What do you think's going on if you had an MRI in their brains at that moment?
I guess some pretty primal fear circuits. scientists have done lots of studies looking at how social status actually turns on different parts of the brain. So I'm guessing any game of diplomacy really comes down to chimp A versus chimp B, alpha males.
Joe Dallaire is editor-at-large for Seed Magazine and the author of Proust Was a Neuroscientist, and he's responsible for all of the transitions from segment to segment in the show. He's riding along for the hour. Jonah, what we want to talk to you about principally, though, is how perceptions and expectations about an act you're about to perform affect how that act is, you know, turns out. And particularly, let's talk about eating. Notions like you get what you pay for, or you know, what your expectations are when you sit down to eat really affect your level of satisfaction. First of all, describe the research that you've written about.
Well, you know, there's this old model of how people sense reality, which is that we sense reality straight. You know, we're like a camera. We're objective machines. And that turns out to be pretty false. What you quickly find is that the mind is always generating expectations about what it should taste or what it should see. And those expectations turn out to be much more important than what's actually in our mouth.
So what is the evidence of how important it is?
Well, it comes from lots of different sources. Some of my favorite experiments have been done on wine. For example, a guy named Frederic Brochet at the University of Bordeaux, he took 54 wine experts. So these are people who know a lot about wine. And he gave them the same wine, a cheap Cote de Rhone, but in two different bottles. One bottle was cheap Planck, you know, the gallo-hardy Burgundy of France. The other bottle was a very fancy-looking bottle of Bordeaux. And then he asked these 54 wine experts to describe the wine in these two bottles. When they were tasting the same wine from the cheap bottle, it was weak, faulty, flat, you know, all these negative adjectives. When they were tasting that same wine from the expensive-looking bottle, however, it was all of a sudden elegant, austere, profound. And so here's the exact same wine, the exact same liquid, but perceived completely differently depending on what people expected to taste.
Well, I've got in the studio here some actual little props that you told me to bring in here, right?
Yes.
Right. And what I want to do is, and Femi Oke is also in the studio here. You know Femi, right?
Morning, Jonah.
Femi,
how are
say
you?
Hi to Jonah.
Good morning.
Yeah. So what I've got is two boxes of breakfast cereal here. We've got Honey Nut Toasted O's, a kind of a brand X of oat
generic.
O's,
we'll call right? them pseudo Cheerios.
Right, pseudo Cheerios. And then we've got real Honey Nut Cheerios, okay?
Yes.
And we're going to ask Femi, all right, without looking, to eat from one.
Right.
And what do you want her to do, Jonah?
Well, we want her to give us her impression. So this is a test of sensory sensitivity. So which brand does she prefer and why?
All right. Well, so she doesn't know one is which, so she's going to start eating now.
Okay. I'm trying one lot now. Very crunchy. Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jonah. I don't usually eat breakfast till 10. Good experiment.
And here's the second one.
Second one.
Now, which one do you like?
Goodness me.
Better.
I think the first one is Honey Nut Cheerios because they're very sweet. But the mm-hmm. second one is a very close second. And it's that this current economic climate, I actually usually buy the cheap version rather than the brand mm-hmm. version. So I think number one is Honey Nut Cheerios. and number two is the cheap brand.
All right. Well, before I tell you the answer, how do you think the boxes, which are right here, figure into her calculation, Jonah?
Well, they profoundly change what she thinks her tongue is sensing. This is now a very well-studied fact. You know, for example, butyric acid is the common odor in Parmesan cheese and vomit. That's really what you're smelling when you're smelling
Jonah,
Parmesan
I'm
cheese
eating.
And vomit.
That's gross.
Sorry. It's not very polite of me to say. But that's just another example of how, you know, we never confuse those two smells in the real world. And that's simply because common sense is constantly overruling our actual sensation. The same thing is happening when you're eating a brand of cereal versus a generic cereal. What you think you're sensing really changes what you do sense. You know, to paraphrase Paul Simon, a man tastes what he wants to taste and disregards the rest.
All right, so Femi, which one, you say you know which one is?
I think the first one I tried is very sweet, and usually name brands tend to be really sweet. The second one is not quite so sweet, but equally as crunchy, and I would say the second one was no brand, and the first one was brand.
Mm. In fact, they're both exactly the same. The
really?
Generic brand, yes.
Oh, I failed it. You tricked me.
Now, why would someone want to create the impression of something that they're actually not tasting just by looking at a box?
Well, we just can't help it. That's just the way the brain is wired. We're not sensory, you know, we're not cameras, we're not objective machines. And advertising constantly takes advantage of this. One interesting implication of a lot of this research is that if you want your product to taste better, it's a very simple thing to do. Just make it more expensive.
What about the shape of the bottle or the shape of the package? Does that give you an expectation that something's going to taste better or be better for you?
All these variables come into play. It's not simply brand names. It's what the box looks like. It's the kind of font on the wine label. For example, there've been studies at Caltech where they've given people the exact same wine, but told them that, you know, this wine is $5 or it's $45, and they do this in brain scanners. So they sip the wine from plastic tubes, and what they find is when they tell people the wine costs $45, a part of the brain that registers pleasure, the orbitofrontal cortex, lights up much more, even though they're actually tasting the exact same wine.
But they're actually having the experience of a better wine because their brain is
absolutely
actually lighting up. Wow.
They're actually getting more pleasure from the $45 bottle of wine, even though it's really a $5 bottle of wine. So you know, all these very subtle things come into play and actually really affect how the brain works.
Well, Jonah, hold on there. We're going to be talking about security in a moment. How would you manipulate someone to think they're more secure than they really are, say, at an airport or a checkpoint?
Scientists are actually working on that. They're trying to shut down the amygdala, which is a very ancient part of the brain. It's a very primal brain area we share with rats and every other mammal. And they're working on drugs that really try to tone down the amygdala simply because, you know, the amygdala is also active in anxiety disorders and stuff.
To make you feel secure rather than actually be more secure. Well, Jonah, that's fascinating, and we're going to set that up in the next segment. But first, a quick bulletin from the very disappointed Femi. Okay.
I feel like I should talk about Cheerios rather than the news. Very, very quickly, what's in the news this morning? Hurricane Ike heading towards Texas. President Bush will mark the 9/11 attacks with a moment of silence at the White House. And that's all for now.
All right. Thank you, Femi. Okay. And hold on there, Jonah.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.